You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's November 13th, 2025, and welcome to episode 158 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. I am your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you very much for tuning into the program today. On this week's show, I'm going to be talking about Keeper from Double Fine Productions. But we start the day, as we always do, by checking out some of the headlines from this past week. And 10 years after trying and failing to break into the console market, Steam is at it again with a trio of new hardware releases, which are coming in 2026. While the new Steam controller and Steam Frame VR headset are certainly interesting, it's the new Steam Machine that is rightfully grabbing the most attention. Announced yesterday, the Steam Machine is their second attempt to transform PC gaming into a convenient and easy-to-use piece of hardware that players will be able to just plug into their TVs and go. So the little black box, it looks like half of a Series X. If you chopped a Series X in half, that's what you get. It's a tiny 6-inch square device with a removable faceplate that owners will be able to customize and swap with other plates, which is a lot of fun. It brings you back to the Xbox 360 era. It runs the Steam OS, which is what's used on the Steam Deck right now. And I believe they've said that any game that is certified to play on the Steam Deck is already set to run here. Now, I'm not going to talk about the specs of this thing, because honestly, it would just be repeating a bunch of words and jargon that I don't really understand what they all mean. Instead, I recommend you go to Digital Foundry and read their breakdown of the hardware, because they are much more smarter than I am, and they went hands-on with this thing. Basically, their impression is that as far as power goes, this thing comes in somewhere between an Xbox Series S and a base PS5. So if you were hoping that, you know, this was going to be a big technological leap over the current generation of consoles, you're probably going to be disappointed to hear that. This is not a piece of hardware that's going to be competing with the new PlayStation and Xboxes that are coming fairly soon, at least as far as the horsepower goes. The thing is, though, I think gamers really, especially lately, they care a lot less about raw power than they used to. I feel like back in the day, gaming was always all about the power. This next console is more powerful. It just seems, from my perspective, that that's just not what people care about as much anymore. So even though it's not super impressive on that front, I don't know that it's really going to hurt them very much. This is looking to be like the first quote-unquote console that's going to be able to run Steam titles as well as all Xbox games and many PlayStation games. And that's a pretty big deal. Now, the big question is going to be price, which they did not announce yesterday. My guess is, though, with the somewhat lower specs on this machine, that they're going to be shooting for a mass market price point, which I think, if I'm a betting man, I would put it somewhere in the $600, maybe $700 range. But we'll see after they share more details, which they say are coming early next year. In a video posted on Double Fine's YouTube channel, project lead Lee Petty describes his inspirations for their new game, Keeper. He names films like The Dark Crystal and Princess Mononoke, as well as the work of directors David Lynch and the Quay brothers. He also mentions early naturalist drawings done by artists who clearly had never seen the animals that they were actually drawing and were rather going off of secondhand descriptions of them. This is to say that, you know, that should give you something of an idea of what to expect from Keeper, which is a game that is exploding with imagination and I think is brilliant in its storytelling. In Keeper, you control a lighthouse. Not a lighthouse keeper, but the lighthouse itself. Because one afternoon, you, the lighthouse, go toppling off of your base, crashing down onto the ground. You sprout legs, though, and decide that you're going to go on a little adventure. And along for this adventure is this silly-looking green bird who took refuge on you after being chased by a swarm of creatures. And after learning how to walk straight, after a little bit of, you know, trial and error, the two of you head off. Where? Well, we're going to find out. So now, if you think that that setup sounds a little weird, well, you're not wrong. But I think instead I would categorize it as whimsical. And there's a difference. It's whimsical in the way that, you know, the children's books that I used to read as a kid were back in the day. Like, do you remember Where the Wild Things Are or The Lorax? You know, they aren't really interested in telling you a straightforward tale where everything is laid out neatly for you to understand. They're just taking you on a journey, and it's up to you and your imagination to kind of fill in the blanks, maybe. So as you and your feathered companion explore, it's pretty simple at first. You're navigating the world, taking in the sights, and doing some very light puzzle work. Although, you know, I don't know if puzzle is even the right word. In the first couple of hours of the game, the mechanics are really quite light. You know, they're more interactions, I guess, than anything else. You know, hold A to run through a barrier that's in your way, or move your spotlight to shine it on this one thing that will then open the path in front of you. You know, the early parts of the game very much want you to spend your time taking in this world as opposed to figuring out mechanics. And it's a hell of a world to take in. This game is absolutely stunning to look at. It is colorful and imaginative and unpredictable, and it's just bursting with detail. You know, there's critters and creatures scurrying around, rocks with legs, and the trees and the grass are swaying in the wind and the rain. And it honestly, this game, like, it looks like a painting. It come to life. It's quite impressive. I'm not a big photo mode guy or a screenshot guy, but I just had to stop and snap a few pics when I came across some of the scenes in this game that were just jaw-dropping. I had to share them. It's hands down the best art direction I've seen this year. Even my wife, who sometimes is just kind of half watching while I play a game, was sitting next to me and was like, damn, this game looks pretty amazing. As you get further along in the game, two things happen. First, without spoiling what actually happens, there are a couple of moments in the game where the way in which you interact with it completely changes, which is great because it kind of comes out of nowhere and all of a sudden it's just like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing now. And second, as these changes happen, the gameplay becomes much more interesting. You get some elements which are much more puzzle-like. Although, again, they never get super tricky. And the game just becomes more fun to play the further you get. I think the storytelling in Keeper is really fantastic. It's a tale about companionship and wonder and exploration. And it's all done without a single word of dialogue or text. The closest you get is when you find these statues that are... There's one kind of like hidden in each area of the game. And you get an achievement each time you find one. And the description of the actual achievement, the text, you know, along the bottom and the bar of the achievement is a sentence or two of lore, which kind of, you know, it fills in just a little bit. Other than that, it's the world around you and the actions of the characters that are telling the story. And I kind of love that. I think a younger me maybe would have been frustrated with the ambiguity of Keeper. You know, I would have gone straight to YouTube to watch a video explaining what everything in the game truly meant. What was that? What did that mean? But older and, let's say, wiser me has grown to appreciate art like this. I understand now that the meaning behind some works can come from the questions and not the answers. Or as David Lynch put it some years ago, keep your eye on the donut, not the hole. The other day I woke up and when I went out to the car, there was an ever so slight dusting of snow on the windshield. The leaves have all fallen off the trees, and the daytime temps have been struggling to get out of the 40s. So, you know what that means. Winter's coming, baby. Now, I am not like, you know, Mr. Hardcore Winter Sport guy. I don't ski or snowmobile or ice fish or anything like that. But winter has one specific advantage over all the other seasons, and that's laziness. It openly encourages laziness. This is the time of the year to catch up on all those games that have been piling up all year long. I mean, come on, are you really going to go out and do something else after work? It's already pitch black at 5 p.m. and it's so cold your little Goombas have crawled up inside your chest cavity. No, now is not the time for productivity and being outside. Now is the time to play a few rounds of ball pit and catch up on your backlog. And you don't even have to feel guilty about it. So bring it on, winter. Game of the year is just around the corner, and I haven't played Ghost of Yota yet. Speaking of winter and the holidays, next week I've got a special episode where I'm going to be sharing some of my favorite things of 2025. Gadgets, toys, gear, you name it. It's kind of like the old Oprah thing, but geekier. So don't miss that episode. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quests. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch new episodes of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. So until next time, have a great week, and remember, if two wrongs don't make a right, try three.